Welcome to Talk Nation Radio, a half-hour discussion of politics as if the people mattered. I'm David Swanson. This week on Talk Nation Radio, two guests, Congresswoman Barbara Lee on war powers and Attorney Marjorie Cohn on efforts to have members of Congress, along with the President and the Secretary of so-called Defense, prosecuted for war crimes. Congresswoman Lee, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Yeah, I'm happy to be with you.
You and at least a minority of your colleagues are standing up for the role of Congress in deciding matters of war and peace. Tell our listeners the situation.
Sure. It's really our constitutional responsibility to do just that. And when you look at several things we have done already, for example, Congressman McGovern, Congressman Jones, who's a Republican, and myself led an effort on Iraq as it relates to if, in fact, the administration decided that they wanted to insert combat troops or troops on the ground, that they must come to Congress to seek another authority. And that resolution passed, I believe it was 370-40. And so I believe that it's not a minority of members of Congress who want to recapture our constitutional responsibility, but I think it's the majority of members who want to do that. If you look at a letter which I circulated earlier, we had over 100 members writing to the president, once again suggesting that members of Congress have a debate and a vote if, in fact, military, an escalated military approach, actually, or military actions, airstrikes, is being considered. And, again, over 100 members signed this. I think it's important that the people of the United States have a voice based on our Constitution requirements, and that's through their members of Congress. And so that's essential as we witness this real horrific situation that's taking place in Iraq and in Syria.
And under the War Powers Resolution, correct me if I'm wrong, there is a mechanism whereby you can force a vote on the floor regardless of the will of the leadership. Is that correct?
Yes, there's a time frame, but the president is reporting according to the War Powers Act. He's submitting reports to Congress, as he should. So what we're saying is that this goes beyond war powers. If, in fact, this escalates into a conflict beyond what it has been, I'm concerned now that it's already beginning what we call mission creep. Especially if the administration decides to use airstrikes in Syria. Well, my gosh, we need to have a debate on that, and we need to have a vote. That's what Congressman McGovern, Jones, and myself are requesting.
And the War Powers Resolution, as I understand it, only gives the president this sort of leeway in an emergency when the United States itself is threatened or attacked. So in terms of launching a war of choice in Iraq and Syria, the War Powers Resolution ought not to cover it for him. Is that accurate?
Well, there's debate about that. I believe you're absolutely correct. I do believe, though, what has taken place in Iraq as it relates to the possible prevention of the genocide that was taking place, I believe that warranted a response, and I supported what the president and the administration conducted, as also the protection of United States personnel. But that was very limited, and some of us said, myself including, that we would support limited and targeted intervention in order to protect civilians and in order to protect United States citizens and personnel. Beyond that, we think that the administration needs to come to Congress, because that actually is an escalation of what many of us supported initially.
But those personnel could quite easily have been withdrawn and would have been were there not so much oil right there. Isn't that the case?
Well, yeah, we don't know, but this was pretty immediate. And when we saw, and we know what ISIS, everyone understands they're dangerous. They're a very hostile terrorist organization. And so I don't believe any of us who are urging the administration to come to Congress so we can exercise our constitutional responsibility, I don't think any of us believe that ISIS is not a threat. But we also know
that there are a variety of strategies which include non-military options that need to be on the table.
Indeed. Are you in touch with my senator from Virginia, Tim Kaine, who seems to be the lone voice on this in the Senate? And is there any hope?
I know Tim Kaine. I respect him. I've been watching his comments, and I'm going to be talking with him because I hope that the Senate will follow, or at least some members of the Senate will follow what Congressman McGovern, myself, and Jones have been putting together as it relates to communication with the White House formally through a letter. Well, we actually formally communicated to the Speaker. We wrote to the President, I guess about a month ago, but just very recently we asked the Speaker to, you know, ensure that when we came back to Congress that the Foreign Affairs Committee, which has jurisdiction over this, consider an authorization if, in fact, this is going to escalate. So we'll be asking Senator Kaine and others to follow.
I guess I should say two voices I've heard of, Rand Paul being the other. One last question. I know you're pressed for time. Do you think that decisions like sending more weapons to Israel for its wars should be taken more seriously by Congress? And how do you explain the unanimous support in both houses for such a slaughter of civilians by Israel in Gaza?
No, I think that we have to exercise our constitutional responsibility, and the Constitution sets forth the use of force. And in fact, the jurisdiction of Congress as it relates to matters of war and peace. And so I think, and if you remember, I voted against the blank check, which it still is, in 2001, after the horrific events of 9/11, because that gave President Bush and any subsequent president a blank check to use force. So specifically what we're talking about in this instance is the use of force as it relates to Iraq and Syria, and in fact I'm trying to repeal the authorizations that were set forth in the 2001 resolution as it relates to Afghanistan and the 2002 resolution on Iraq. And so these are the specific issues and policies we're talking about in terms of our constitutional responsibility.
Well, we certainly all should support that movement to repeal that authorization. I'm not sure that answers the question on Israel, but
I'm talking about the specific authorization that we're trying to repeal as it relates to Syria, as it relates to Iraq. Any other issue as it relates to Israel, Gaza, any other parts of the world, those are separate issues that we have to talk about that don't require the constitutional responsibility of members of Congress as it relates to the issues of granting a president authority to go to war.
Well, I thank you for what you are doing in that regard and wish you luck and hope we can be of some help.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Congresswoman. I am delighted to welcome Marjorie Cohn to Talk Nation Radio this week. Marjorie is a former president of the National Lawyers Guild. She lectures throughout the world on international human rights and U.S. foreign policy. She is a news consultant for CBS News and a legal analyst for Court TV. She provides legal and political commentary on BBC, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, NPR, and Pacifica Radio. In addition, Professor Cohn is the author of a number of terrific books, Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law, and co-author of Cameras in the Courtroom, Television and the Pursuit of Justice, and of Rules of Disengagement, The Politics and Honor of Military Dissent. Her latest book is called The United States and Torture, Interrogation, Incarceration, and Abuse. And her website is MarjorieCohn.com. Marjorie, welcome to Talk Nation Radio.
Thank you, David. Glad to be here.
So you heard the clip that I recorded with Congresswoman Barbara Lee, in which she completely avoids answering the question about Israel. It seems the public has moved a little, even the corporate media has moved a little, and Congress hasn't budged an inch. You're a lawyer, is what I was asking her about, in violation of U.S. or international law.
Yes. Well, first of all, under the War Powers Resolution, the president can't introduce U.S. armed forces into hostilities or a situation where there are going to be imminent hostilities unless Congress has declared war, there's a specific statutory authorization, or there's a national emergency because there's been an attack on the United States. And none of those three things have happened. Congress hasn't declared war. The authorization for the use of military force that Congress gave President Bush to invade Iraq does not apply here because that situation is over. Secondly, the authorization for the use of military force that Congress gave Bush to take action against groups, countries, and individuals who planned or assisted in the 9/11 attacks would not provide a legal basis for an attack at this time on Syria or Iraq. There has been no attack on the U.S. or armed forces. So, Obama took the position when before he went in and started bombing Libya that those weren't hostilities because U.S. Troops weren't getting killed. You know, tell that to the Libyans.
right. Non-hostile bombs. But,
right.
But I had one of the authors of the War Powers Act on this show, and he described it just as you have, but it seems to be common practice, even among the best of the progressive Congress members, to assume that the War Powers Act just gives the president the right to make war. He just has a 60 or 90-day limit.
Yes, and I think they either haven't read the War Powers Resolution or they are thinking politically and really avoiding what the law says.
So you have looked at what the law says and what international law says, and you have written about the fact that several organizations have sent a letter about the Congress and others to the prosecutor at the International Criminal Court. So who sent this letter and what did it say?
There are five organizations, legal organizations, the National Lawyers Guild, the Center for Constitutional Rights, the International Association of Democratic Lawyers, the Arab Lawyers Union, and the American Association of Jurists, Asociación Americana de Juristas, which is a Latin American organization. Those five groups sent a letter on August 22nd to the prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, urging her to initiate an investigation of war crimes, genocide, and crimes against humanity committed by Israeli leaders and aided and abetted by U.S. officials in Gaza. Under the Rome Statute for the International Criminal Court, the court has the power to hold individuals criminally accountable for the most serious of crimes. Now, also, these organizations are not just saying investigate Israeli leaders for possible war crimes, genocide, and crimes against humanity, but also U.S. leaders, which would include the members of the U.S. Congress, President Barack Obama, Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel, for aiding and abetting war crimes, genocide, and crimes against humanity. Under the Rome Statute, which is the statute that controls the International Criminal Court, an individual can be convicted of a war crime, genocide, or crime against humanity if he or she aids, abets, or otherwise assists in the commission or attempted commission of the crime, including providing the means for its commission. And the letter reads that by transferring financial assistance, weapons, and other military aid to Israel, members of the U.S. Congress, President Barack Obama, and Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel have aided and abetted the commission of war crimes, genocide, and crimes against humanity by Israeli officials and commanders in Gaza. On July 20th, in the midst of criminal behavior, Israel requested and the U.S. Defense Department then authorized the transfer to Israel of ammunition. And in August, Congress overwhelmingly approved and Obama signed $225 million in payment for Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system. Now, people might say, well, that was defensive. You know, those aren't really offensive weapons. But retired U.S. Army General James J. David wrote a letter to Colin Powell in January 2002, where he wrote, if you're going to deny the Palestinians weapons to defend themselves, then you must stop all military and economic aid to Israel. So you don't see the United States even-handedly providing the Palestinians with defensive weapons against Israel's bombs. And then this letter that the five legal organizations sent went on to detail evidence of war crimes, genocide, and crimes against humanity committed by the Israeli forces in Gaza over the last, 7 weeks or so.
The International Criminal Court does not take into its field of prosecutions war itself, correct?
Some people confuse the International Criminal Court with the International Court of Justice. The International Court of Justice is also known as the World Court, and that is the legal arm of the United Nations. And the International Court of Justice, also known as the World Court, deals with disputes between countries. And that is the legality of the use of force, the legality of Israel's barrier wall on Palestinian territory, etc. Whereas the International Criminal Court is a criminal tribunal that has the power to prosecute individuals for the most serious of crimes, genocide, war crimes, crimes against humanity.
Right, but those crimes might include aggression 3 or 4 years from now in certain circumstances and so forth, but do not now include that.
Well, the Rome Statute includes the crime of aggression as the fourth crime that the court can prosecute, but it took many years to even get the member countries to the parties to the Rome Statute to agree on a definition of aggression, and even that definition, which is embodied in an amendment to the Rome Statute, has not been agreed upon by a sufficient number or majority of the countries that are parties to the Rome Statute. So it's not clear when, if at all, the International Criminal Court will be able to punish aggression. And, of course, the United States, which refuses to ratify or even sign the International Criminal Court statute, is resisting and trying to influence the court not to define aggression, putting pressure on member countries not to agree to the amendment because the United States is worried that its leaders might become defendants in the International Criminal Court for committing the crime of aggression, which there is strong evidence. Many people think the United States has done in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Libya, and now in Iraq and maybe in Syria.
We're speaking with Marjorie Cohn. Marjorie, there's also a widespread belief that because the U.S. is not a party to the International Criminal Court, it cannot be prosecuted under it, and that even if it could, the court operates under the thumb of the United States and has been essentially an international criminal court for Africans, not for Western powers. Is it actually possible or plausible that the court could prosecute Israelis and Americans?
Well, it is possible because under the statute for the International Criminal Court, countries that are parties to the Rome Statute, their nationals can be prosecuted, but neither Israel nor the United States is a party to the Rome Statute. But if the International Criminal Court decides that Palestine can join the Rome Statute, then the ICC, International Criminal Court, could take jurisdiction over crimes committed by Israelis and Americans in Palestinian territory. And that, you're right, that so far the International Criminal Court has only prosecuted African leaders and, has not done any prosecution of anyone from the Bush's Iraq invasion or Afghanistan invasion. And there is going to be resistance. There already has been resistance by the prosecutor to saying that Palestine is competent, Palestine is a sufficient state to join the International Criminal Court. But the General Assembly determined that recognized the state of Palestine and gave it non-member observer status in November of 2012. And in 2009, the government of Palestine actually filed a declaration with the International Criminal Court, saying open up an investigation of Israeli war crimes. Hamas has just said that it is not opposed to the Palestinians joining the International Criminal Court, even though some of the actions of Hamas leaders during this most recent war or slaughter, some people call it, would also be under the microscope. But Mahmoud Abbas has not finally determined whether to officially apply. He is the leader of the Palestinians in the West Bank. Hamas is the leader of the Palestinians in Gaza, both occupy Palestinian territory. So Abbas wants to make sure that all the Palestinian factions agree before he says yes, and the PLO, Palestinian Liberation Organization, and Hamas have already said yes, go ahead. Now, Israel is terrified of being held to account, its leaders being held to account in the International Criminal Court, because if the International Criminal Court did take jurisdiction over the situation in Israel-Palestine and this most recent war, the illegal settlements that Israel has built and continues to build on occupied Palestinian lands will certainly come under attack at the International Criminal Court, because the Rome Statute describes as a war crime the transfer directly or indirectly by the occupying power of parts of its own civilian population into the territory it occupies. Israel is the occupying power, and the Palestinian territories are the occupied. So Israel is very, very worried about that, and you can bet that both Israel and the United States, Israel's proxy for pretty much whatever Israel wants to do, are putting tremendous pressure on whatever context they have in the International Criminal Court to resist taking jurisdiction over this matter.
And pretty hard to dispute the presence of all of those settlers. You detail in your letter, or these organizations' letter, some of the evidence that Israel is guilty of crimes in this latest adventure in Gaza. Can you sort of review how certain is the evidence? How strong a case is there for opening the investigation?
Well, it's an incredibly strong case and a powerful case. For example, I'll just give you, kind of a rough sketch. The letter lists the following war crimes, and these are war crimes under the Rome Statute: willful killing, and just a shorthand of the evidence, over 2,000 Palestinians, 80% civilians, were killed. Second war crime, willfully causing great suffering or serious injury. Evidence is wounding nearly 10,000 Palestinians, 2,200 of them children. Third war crime, unlawful, wanton, and unjustified extensive destruction and appropriation of property. Tens of thousands of Palestinians lost their homes, severe damage to the infrastructure. Fourth is willful deprivation of fair trial rights. 450 Palestinians are being held without charge or trial. Fifth is intentional attacks against civilians or civilian objects or humanitarian vehicles, installations, and personnel. Israel bombed numerous schools, UN places of refuge, hospitals, ambulances, mosques, and killed several medical personnel. Six, intentionally launching unjustified attacks, knowing they will kill or injure civilians, damaging civilian objects, or causing long-term and severe damage to natural environment. Israel is apparently, once again, using the Dahiya Doctrine, which was defined by the UN Human Rights Council Goldstone Report. And that is where Israel causes great damage and destruction to civilian property and infrastructure and suffering to civilian populations. That's a war crime, to target civilians. Under genocide, the Rome Statute defines genocide as the commission of any of the following three acts with the intent to destroy in whole or in part a national, ethnical, racial, or religious group, in whole or in part: A, killing members of the group; B, causing serious bodily harm to members of the group; or C, deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its destruction in whole or in part. And to back up the allegations of genocide, the letter by these five legal organizations says, in light of the fact that Palestinians in Gaza had no ability to flee for safety, it must be assumed the responsible Israeli officials knew that huge casualties and destruction of civilian property and infrastructure were certain during the massive bombardment by land, air, and sea of the occupied Gaza Strip. The letter also lists the repeatedly inciting public statements made by Israeli officials before and during the course of Operation Protective Edge and the history of Israel's repeated bombardment of Palestinian refugee camps and populations in Lebanon and Gaza as evidence that Israeli officials may be implementing a plan to destroy the Palestinian population, at least in part. And then under crimes against humanity, the Rome Statute defines crimes against humanity as the commission of any of the following when part of a widespread or systematic attack directed against any civilian population: A, murder; B, persecution against a group based on its political, racial, national, ethnic, or religious character; or C, the crime of apartheid, which consists of inhumane acts committed in the context of an institutional regime of systematic oppression and domination by one racial group over another racial group with the intent to maintain that regime. And then the letter states in support of the crimes against humanity allegations, Israeli forces have killed, wounded, summarily executed, and administratively detained Palestinians, Hamas forces, and civilians alike. Israeli forces intentionally destroyed the infrastructure in Gaza. And the letter also says Israel keeps Palestinians caged in, quote, the world's largest open-air prison, unquote, and controls all ingress and egress to Gaza, limits access to medicine and other essentials. And the letter cites arbitrary arrest, administrative detention, expropriation of property, destruction of homes, crops, and trees, and this under the apartheid section, separate roads and areas, segregated housing, legal and educational systems for Palestinians and Jews, the illegal barrier wall encroaching on Palestinian territory, illegally found by the World Court to be illegal, hundreds of illegal Jewish settlements on Palestinian land, and denying the right of Palestinians to return to their homeland because they are not Jews. So, and I just gave you kind of a thumbnail summary of the evidence. The letter cites evidence, Marjorie, documentary proof.
It's a very, very powerful case, and I did not want to interrupt it. We have about 30 seconds left. What can people do to help? We flooded the prosecutor at the ICC with demands for prosecutions during the Bush-Cheney years. Is there anything that people can do to help bring about justice?
Yes, I think that people can publicize publicize this letter, publicize the allegations, I would say pressure your congresspeople, but they are in the pocket of AIPAC, and I don't know if they will respond to pressure. I think that ultimately the best nonviolent solution to this whole horrible situation is the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement, which Netanyahu is taking very seriously and which is gaining steam, especially in light of this Israeli massacre in Gaza. So people should look up boycott, divestment, and sanctions, or also known as BDS, and support that. I think that would go a long way toward helping the situation.
Very good. Marjorie Cohn, the website is marjoriecohn.com. Thank you very much, Marjorie, for coming on Talk Nation Radio.
My pleasure, David.
This is Talk Nation Radio. I'm David Swanson. Take action at rootsaction.org. Help end war at worldbeyondwar.org. All past shows can be heard at davidswanson.org. Talk Nation Radio is produced in Charlottesville, Virginia, and syndicated by Pacifica Network. If you are listening to a nonprofit station, please support that station. Talk Nation Radio is funded by contributors at davidswanson.org. There is no way to peace. Peace is the way. Until next time.